Well, I'm going to read again in your hearing the 10 verses of 1 John 1. We've reached verse number 8. May God guide us as we consider this verse this morning. But I'm going to read the entire 10 verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, may his word be in us today. There is a subject that I'm going to begin to address this morning in light of the verse that I've reached, verse 8, that the Holy Spirit-inspired Apostle John makes reference to 17 times in this short letter. And the fact that he makes this many references to this subject or truth should show you again that he is being guided by a different spirit than those who dare think that they have both the ability to speak before others about this subject or truth, but who show by what they say that you need the warning and teaching of this one verse as well as the next two. For John is being guided by the Holy Spirit of truth, who was infallibly guiding John to teach on this subject 17 times. Think of it from this perspective. The letter of 1 John is not a long letter. It's only 5 short chapters. Yet he's guided by the Holy Spirit of truth to make reference to this sobering truth 17 times. And the fact that not only in the world, but in those edifices desiring to be seen as Christian churches, this subject is never mentioned or preached on is revealing the dangerous times that you have been saved out of, believer, if you confess the only one able to save you from the truth of this repeated truth. Because not only are false teachers who never mention the truth of this subject, because it is negative and doesn't appeal to the self-esteem of the deluded masses who want their ears tickled and told things that are not true, but even where it is mentioned or preached on, what is mentioned or taught contradicts what John declares about it in the 17 references he makes to it in his first letter. Now, the first time that John refers to it is in the previous verse, and it is the last word of verse 7. Friends, what is the last word of verse 7? But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, in verse 7, John declares something about sin that Jesus alone can do for those who believe on him alone. What is Jesus alone able to do for his believing people? Cleanse them from all sin. Especially as I sought to show last Sunday, the sin of having wrong and sinful thoughts, words, and actions that flow from wrong and sinful thoughts and ideas about God. But how many, not only in the world, but sitting in places of public worship like you are presently doing, don't want to hear and will not hear anything about sin? In fact, they would be annoyed and offended if this truth, this subject, the truth about sin was even mentioned. Let's be honest, friends. How many would say, oh, I don't go to church to hear a message about sin? Who do you think I am? A sinner that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save if he is pleased to do so? How many would think that? How many think that today? I'm offended I'm offended and annoyed at the very idea, with all the problems mankind is facing, climate change, the burning of the Amazon rainforest, that you would dare to say that I need to have a biblical view of this thing called sin. And you're telling me that John makes 17 references to it? You've already dealt with one. You're dealing with one now. That means 15 more times before that we reach the end of this letter, you're going to be bringing up this subject called sin. Friends, the only thing that is sinful in the minds of the deluded is that the last thing that you should bring up in mixed company is the fact that Jesus Christ is the world's one and only Savior of lost and dying sinners. Showing that the truth about sin that John writes about in verse 8 is as present today as when he first wrote verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Notice, John is super personal here. He's super personal here. He's uber personal. He includes himself and all those reading what he has infallibly written. If we say that we have not sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. John is warning all of us that not only is it possible for the sin-warped minds of men to have a totally and wrong view of who God is, truth he addresses in the previous verse, if you think you know God and have fellowship with those who know God, and you walk in your own fallen, flawed, and unbiblical views of God, trusting in your fallen minds as to who God is, not being guided by God's infallible revelation of himself in his word, written the Holy Bible, and in his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the written word, the one the written word should point you to. If you are reading it correctly, which requires the help of the ultimate author of the scriptures, God the Holy Spirit, you walk in darkness. That's what you do. You walk in darkness and not in the light of God's own self-revelation and perfect knowledge of himself. As I said last Sunday, God knows himself. And he alone is able to reveal who he is, and he reveals who he is through his word and in his incarnate Son. And what does Proverbs 28:16 say? It says a person who trusts in his own heart is what? A fool. Person who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Yet fallen, unbelieving sinner man thinks that he has both the right and the ability to determine for himself not only who God is, but who they are apart from God's infallible revelation and declaration of who he is and who man is. And friends, this warped and rebellious thinking is the essence of sin. Essence, that which makes something what it is, a truth I will return to a little later. Because John declares what sin is later in his short letter. 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law. Or I think a better way of translating this truth is sin is lawlessness. Mm-hmm. Sin is lawlessness. But not just sin is lawlessness, but sin is the lawlessness. Man thinks and lives out his warped thinking. What warped thinking? That he has both the ability and the right to decide for himself not only who God is, but who he is. And what anything else is, including what is or is not sin, even to the point, as this verse warns us about, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But friends, thinking that you have both the ability and the right to define your own reality as to who God is or who you are or what is true or false or right or wrong is the essence of sin. Mm-hmm. It is what makes sin exceedingly sinful. It is rebellion against the true and final revelation that God gives of himself and his universe and all that is in it, as declared in his written word, the Holy Bible. Thy word is what? A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But John was writing to warn not only the church of the first century, but the church for all time until Christ returns. If you do not think you are a sinner that only Jesus Christ can save, if he is pleased to do so in his sovereignty, That is that you have no sin. You are deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself, and the truth is not in you. Anyone who denies that they have no sin is showing they are what they deny they are. How? Because they're deceiving themselves. They are lying to themselves. And friends, what is lying defined by God? It is sin. To deny that you have no sin is evidence that you are a sinner because you are deceiving yourself and are rejecting the repeated clear testimony to the Word of God as to the universal sinfulness of fallen mankind, which is why Jesus had to be sinlessly conceived and live his absolutely sinless life, believer, so that his precious once shed blood could cleanse you from all sin, including the sin of saying that you have no sin and are not a sinner that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save. Friends, dare I say that one of the worst things, if not the worst thing, is for God to leave you to your own fallen thinking. Amen. To leave you to your own fallen thinking of understanding of who you are and who God is. Because how does Jeremiah powerfully testify to the truth of what I've just said? Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And what is one of the ways the natural fallen heart of man displays its deceptive wickedness? By denying its very sinfulness. If we say we have no sin. Now, before addressing what John declares is true about those saying such a false and incorrect thing, an important question that needs to be asked and answered is how? How? How is it possible for the sin-deceived hearts of unbelievers to actually say to themselves what John warns you is testimony to deceiving yourself? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. How is it possible? How is it possible for sinful and dying people, dying because they are sinners, to deceive themselves into thinking they have no sin? Which is something that the unbelieving apostate churches, that is, churches that do not believe the Bible, are endorsing without shame.
Right.
Showing that they are the apostate churches that John is warning you about to be on guard against in this one verse, believer. Because for a fellowship of sinful, dying people that only Jesus can save, but never mentions sin and deceptively explains it away, is a very dangerous fellowship of lost sinners, both to themselves and to anyone thinking that their denial of mankind's universal sinfulness is a good thing, as it enables them to dangerously continue to deceive themselves. Why do I say this? Well, what does he say? If we say we have no sin, not just if someone singular, but if anyone claiming to be a teacher in the church rejects the biblical teaching on sin, even to the point of denying that they or those they are deceiving are sinners, you know something from just this one verse, friends. What do you know? If you believe the truth of this one verse, the truth is not in them. They are deceiving themselves and whoever is listening to them. But I repeat, how is it possible? How is it possible for such a dangerous error to be believed both in the first century and today? And friends, it's believed with a vengeance today. Because as I said, men listening to their deceptive, wicked hearts rather than the Word of God think they have both the ability and right to define for themselves what reality is for them. Even who they are, even though it contradicts and conflicts with what God declares about man, using the word man to refer to man, male or female, made in the image of God. But to explain the error that John was warning the first century church against, the error that the Holy Spirit is warning all churches and believers about, since John first infallibly wrote what he does in this one verse, I need to ask you a question. Not to sound profound or deep. Perish the thought. For there are enough false teachers deceiving people using terms they do not define. Because just as you need to understand what rotors and pads are to work on a car's brakes, there are words that can be used to explain how sinners think they have no sin. But friends, this is the question. What comes first, your essence or your existence? What comes first, your essence or your existence? Now, what do I mean by these two words, essence and existence? Because how many deceiving people will use words and never define them? Or define them in a way that shows they are deceiving teachers by giving them a definition that the Word of God will not support? For how many will not define man, as I did a moment ago, as male or female, accountable image bearers of the living, true, and only God, but as a product of the misused word chance plus time, showing that they are sinning by contradicting God's infallible declaration of who man is and thus deceiving themselves. Friends, anyone who endorses the demonic teaching of evolution is showing that the truth is not in them, regardless of how many foolishly listen to them. But what do I mean? What do I mean with the question, what comes first, essence or your essence or your existence? What do I mean when I use the word essence? Essence is a word that describes what you are as created by God. Now, if I was to ask you a trick question by asking you what is heavier, a pound of rocks or a pound of feathers, you might instantly answer, if you're not thinking, a pound of rocks. Why? Because an aspect of the essence of a feather is to be light. The aspect of the essence of a rock is to be heavy. And so when I say, what's heavier? I say rock. Well, a rock is heavy and a flower is light. And if you don't listen carefully, you can be tripped up by that question. Would you prefer if a person threw a pound of feathers at you or a pound of rocks? Why? Well, the essence of a feather is light. The essence of a rock is hard and heavy. Dare I say that the essence of God is to be eternally and everlastingly holy, holy, holy? The essence of something is what makes them or it what they are. An aspect of the essence of a cat is to purr, and a dog to bark. If someone was to come up to you and say, I heard your dog purr today, you would tell them you're talking about a cat, not a dog. What is the essence of man? The essence of man is that since the Garden of Eden, a fallen image bearer of God, that goes a long way in explaining how he is able to deceive himself in saying he has no sin. Friends, whereas essence is an easy word to define, it is a word to describe that which makes something what they are according to the sovereignty of God. Now, the deceptiveness of the human heart is seen in denying the truth of who man is, as declared by God. And from this perspective, a stone is smarter than a fallen man. Because if you could ask a stone what it was, it would not deny that it is a stone. The stone would not tell you it was a feather. But in order for you to answer the question I pose to you, what comes first, essence or your existence, what other word do I have to define? Existence. Friends, what does existence mean? Webster's 1828 dictionary says the state of being. Google's dictionary says the fact or state of living or having objective reality. Rocks are not living, but they exist. So the first part of Google's definition is not correct. Existence refers to something that has some form of being, regardless of what that being is, a rock, a cat, or a man. But friends, what comes first? The fact that you exist or what you exist as? Your essence, that which makes you, you, that which makes a fish, that what makes spiders, spiders. All things visible and invisible, seen and unseen exist, have existence, but what is their essence? What is it that makes them what they are? God does. God defines the essence of all that exists, from rocks to trees to birds and the bees to man. Believer, if you are not going to be sucked into and sucked up by the vortex of heresy and error that is present in America and in so much of the American church, the fact that you exist does not come first. But who or what you exist as comes first. Your essence precedes your existence if you are going to understand things correctly. Why does the Bible call those who deny the existence of the God of the Bible fools? Because the living, true, and only God is not going to change the truth of who he is, his essence, the everlasting God, to please the warped and sinful minds of men who think that they can explain him out of existence. Friends, what you are, your essence, precedes the fact of your existence. But why is it possible for so many, both inside and outside the church, to define themselves, to define the world as something that both they and this world are not and never will be? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Sin is lawlessness. I can determine for myself my own reality. I can determine for myself my own essence. Who I am, what I am, regardless of what the Word of God declares me or anything else to be. I know I exist, but neither you or God can tell me what I am. See, I exist, but I determine what I am. I determine who I am. I determine my essence. It's not given by God. I determine it. That's the essence of sin. No one, not even God, can tell me who I am. So the fact that man is, by correct definition, a fallen image bearer of God is rejected and denied, both inside and outside the church. I can define for myself my own reality, with the result that the numerous and varied ways fallen sinner man displays the truth he is a sinner is explained away. If we say we have no sin, so what do you have today, friends? What do you have today? You have the disease model for sin. You have the disease model for sin. I'm not a sinner. It's a disease. Sin, dare I say, is explained right out of existence. Sin is not lawlessness, seen by defining your own reality about God and yourself. I have no sin. My poor upbringing and my environment is the reason I do what I do. Not because I'm a sinner that only Jesus Christ can save. Mm-hmm. You ever heard that? Yeah. I have no sin because my DNA made me this way. Have you ever heard that? That's explaining sin. If you say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Oh, God made me this way. The ultimate self-deception, blaming God for the way sinners display their sinfulness. Friends, there's no such thing as sexual depravity and perversion today. There's no such thing as sexual sin in America today and in the sin-denying apostate church in America, because sinner man, according to his deceptive heart, has both the right and the ability to define his own reality. Not only of what the universe is, but who he is. Friends, if ever man was living in a time, and I know it has been true in every moment of man's existence since Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, but dare I say, if ever there was a time when God has given men over to a reprobate and fallen mind by defining sin right out of existence and their fallen understanding of both God, God's good but fallen creation and themselves, it's today. Amen. It's today. For when fallen sinner man thinks he can define his sinfulness away simply by choosing to decide for himself who he thinks he is, rather than accepting what God has declared him to be, he is putting existence before his essence. He's refusing to define who he is according to God's word of truth. I exist, and so I can decide for myself who I am and what is right and wrong and true and false. If we say we have no sin, fallen sinner man redefines who God is and who he is, and in so doing is able to define sin in their own fallen minds right out of existence. The only sin in the minds of such deceived people, both in and outside the church, is to say there is such a thing as sin. To say an evidence of man's universal sinfulness is thinking he has the ability to decide for himself who God is or who he is or what is or is not acceptable. Friends, that's the unforgivable sin today. You live in a culture that has defined sin right out of existence. Mm-hmm. If we say that we have no sin, you call it sin, but I call it accepting who I think I am. Mm-hmm. Dare I say that you are surrounded by a sinless culture, friends? Mm-hmm. Not that sin does not exist, for you know it does and know its reality in your own redeemed life, but you are living in a sinless culture by definition. Mm-hmm. It's defined away. I didn't lie. I misspoke. I'm not committing adultery or fornication. I'm finding my true self. Abortion is not murder. It's pro-choice. I'm not envious and demanding reparations. I'm seeking justice for past wrongs. Oh, friends, every biblical sin, the deceitful, wicked heart of man, will find a way to redefine it and define it out of existence. The sin of idolatry does not exist today. It is man seeking God in his own way, despite God saying the only way he can be known is through his beloved Son. And the fact that you are surrounded by a culture that has banished sin by defining it out of existence shows you not only the sobering times that you and I are living in, but the fact that the Holy Spirit of truth can bring such deceived people to a true and correct understanding of themselves and God. And once he does this for someone for whom Christ died, the biblical gospel of salvation from sin makes perfect sense. It is no longer nonsense, as in the eyes of a society that thinks it can define sin out of existence. But what is such a foolish idea and evidence of? The next part of verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Man fallen in sin is so warped and so ruined by his sinfulness that he prefers to be led astray. He prefers to be led astray and deceived by his sin-deceived heart rather than believe the word of God. This is why sinner man will listen to those who explain away their sin. Oh, you're not a sinner. God understands. You haven't sinned. God understands. This is why sinner man will listen to those who explain their sin away. And let's give a new life by the Holy Spirit of God to see that the most dangerous thing a sinner can do is deceive themselves into thinking that the sins they are thinking, the sins they are saying, the sins they are doing are not sins. Hmm. Sinner man, unless saved by the Lord, will deceive himself right into hell. Because the God who knows who he is, holy, 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 he knows his essence, friends. He's not going to change the truth of who he is to please and agree with those who have lied to themselves and about God. Not only are such people deceiving themselves, telling themselves lies, not sweet little lies, friends. But they are not only leading themselves astray, but what are they showing is not in them. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. What is every non-believer who does not believe the saving gospel of Christ revealing about himself? Well, what is the saving gospel of Christ, friends? This is a saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What does every non-believer who does not believe that Jesus Christ alone can save them from their sins and sinfulness, even the soul-deceiving sin of thinking that they do not need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved and accepted by God? What is such a deceived person displaying and showing? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The truth of the saving gospel of Christ is not in anyone who thinks that they can define sin out of existence and still be accepted by God when they die. Jesus died to save his people from their sins, including the sin of refusing to see their sinfulness by defining it away. Are you praising the Lord for showing you your true sinfulness in thought, in word, and in deed. And the reason that Jesus came into this sin-deceived world to do what? To save his people from their sins. Is the truth that you are a sinner that only Jesus can save if he is pleased to do so offensive to you? Or is it something you praise the Lord for coming to see and confess? This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Is the saving truth of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ in you today because you do not deny your sinfulness? As who knows how many in America and in the church in America are doing today, deceiving themselves, but not God. Are you praising and thanking the Lord for what the Lord says he will do for all those who are not lying to themselves about themselves? Truth that I must return to in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many in America and in the church today do not know and will not know the blessing of this verse because they're lying to themselves as to what they are in both nature and practice, a lost sinner that only Christ can save if he is pleased to do so? Do you know the blessing of verse 9 or the truth of verse 8? Which is true of you? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, there's no third option.
Amen.
You're either deceiving yourself into hell,
yes,
or believing on Christ alone to save you from all your sins.
Amen.
There's no third option.
Amen.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, who can plumb the depth and breadth and height of your word? It exposes us. It shows us our reality. It shows us how deceived we are in our sin. And if you had not had mercy upon us, opening our eyes to see the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, we would have died in our deceptive sins and perished because of it. And so I thank you, O Lord, for the clarity of your servant John, warning us of a very real danger present in this country today. How many, Lord, think they can define themselves? They can define their own reality. This is what I am. This is what I think I am. And yet all the while, they are denying who they are as you have made them, man, male, or female, who only Jesus can save. Oh, Lord, have mercy on the deluded masses in America and have mercy on the apostate church that refuses to preach on the biblical teaching known as sin. Give us grace to hold it forth in love so that lost sinners might come and see themselves as the sinner only Jesus can save in his precious blood. We ask in his wonderful name. Amen.